up with you?
You know.
Yeah, it's been kind of a stressful day here at the Cut 4 offices. I am not going to lie, but in order to help us de-stress, we are going to take a trip out to beautiful, scenic, mountainous, Reno, Nevada, and talk to our wonderful Jessica Kleinschmidt. Jess, thank you for stopping by this week's episode of the Cut 4 Cast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is always a privilege to have you here. We have a lot to get to today. We will talk a little bit about Andrew McCutchen's just stunned disbelief at the sport of baseball. We will also debate whether or not any of us can get a major league hit. Spoiler alert, we probably couldn't. But before
almost professional athlete over here.
Yeah, you're the most athletic member of Cut 4. And yes, that includes Jake Mintz of Suspice Family Barbecue.
Ooh, that's a compliment. That guy can rake, too.
He's currently in need of Tommy John surgery. I hope I'm not putting him on blast by saying that.
Wow.
It's true.
Leaking news here on the Cut 4 Cast, Dakota Gardner.
He is very excited about the possibility of getting Tommy John surgery, which is very adorable. But before we get to all of that, Cut 4's very own Chris Landers wrote a post this week ranking the 10 greatest home run calls of all time. Number one on his list was, of course, the shot heard around the world in Russ Hodges' famous, "The Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant." In the 1951 NL tiebreaker game. What else could it have been, Gemma? I don't think it could have really been anything else. Probably not. Number two on that list was Vin Scully's famous 1988 World Series call. In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. I'm doing terrible impressions.
Wow.
Let's actually listen to Vin Scully.
But the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball.
That was great. Vin is much better
voice
than me.
Of an angel.
Voice of an angel. Him. That is correct. But Gemma, how did you feel about the rankings on that list? Did you feel okay about it?
I did feel okay about it. I did see that some people were maybe quibbling with the placement of the Joe Carter call, which is my personal favorite, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Is that there are quite a few before we get to touch them all, Joe, which I when I think of an iconic home run call, that is what I personally think of.
It's interesting you say that. I want to open up the floor to you guys this week for this week's Ask Cut 4 presented by Tap Sports Baseball 2017. And my question to you is exactly that. What is your favorite home run call ever? And also, if you have your own favorite home run call, please tweet it at us at Cut 4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. Jess, what's your favorite?
So I think he did a great job on the article, and I'm right there with Gemma with Joe Carter, and you know, I just met him recently, and he was just a phenomenal human being, and actually kind of helped me with my swing a little bit because I still have my softball swing, and he was just great. And then, of course, I was in a group with somebody from Philly, so he had a lot to say about that, but he was just a great, you know, human being, and to see his like the smile on his face and like watch that was awesome. But Vin Scully is always a favorite of mine because the guy could read all the crappy tweets that I'm sent, and I would still get warm butterflies and everything in my stomach just because he has such a great voice. So I feel like with his voice, no matter what he's saying, it's kind of, you know, there's like no contest, right? He could do anything and just make it sound beautiful. So I think Vin Scully is always going to be a number one in my book, whether it is a home run call or, you know, something like telling one of his Buster Posey stories or anything like that. So that's just, he just makes me feel like a child again. I really like, you know, hearing that. But I definitely like the Joe Carter one. But I think Vin Scully, 1988 World Series, is definitely my favorite.
It's a good one. Also, that was a nice humble brag.
I also feel like we have definitely confirmed that you are now the best athlete because none of the rest of us can be like, oh yeah, Joe Carter was just helping me out with my swing. You know? Yeah.
You guys, I totally didn't realize it was him because like the shuttle picked us up and he was sitting in the van. He asked me what I did. I was like, oh, I just landed with this new great gig with LV.com. And he's sitting there like, that's cool. But I was like, I didn't really, there were so many people in the van. I didn't realize who it was. And the next day he walks out and I was like, I shared a van with Joe Carter and I didn't even say anything. Like, I probably looked like I didn't know anything about baseball because he like introduced himself and I was like, cool, his name's Joe. Like, I don't know who this is. And it was dark and see anybody. And the next day, like, one of the stations, we got to hit home runs with Joe Carter. And I was like, okay, that wasn't on my bucket list, but I can check it off now that it did happen. So it was a really, and he's just a phenomenal human being. So nice, like above and beyond nice. And it was just a great opportunity to meet him.
I like this because it actually makes you sound like too cool. You know, you're like, I have to be so professional. I'm sure that he thought like, oh, this cool girl is just like being acting chill because she doesn't want to like, you know, be
I'm
like, oh, World Series hero here.
Like a total, you know, brain dead girl. Like, we'll act like I, you know, but even, yeah, he was great. And I hope everybody gets to meet him because he just was, you know, an all-star across the board. I really love him.
I hope that everybody gets to meet him too.
I would like to meet Joe Carter.
Me.
Yes.
So, Gemma, is your favorite? Is that your favorite?
Yeah, that
Joe
is
Carter?
My favorite. I just think because when there are a lot of, I try to think about this. So, like, I do a lot of graphic design stuff. And when I think
and you're
of,
amazing at all of it,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. When I think of like something, you want to think of like something that's almost the platonic ideal of something when you're trying to convey a message really quickly to someone. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to say what is like the most ideal image of a walk-off home run, I think Kirk Gibson, right? If you just see that picture of Kirk Gibson, you kind of know, right? But the home, to me, like audio, the home run call of Touch 'Em All Joe, like that, you just know what it is instantly. It, like the second you hear those words, it just takes you exactly to where you need to be in space and time. And I think that's why it's my favorite.
Well, you know, I would say that my favorite is probably the 2013
you
ALCS
are the worst,
game two.
And I have nothing to say to you.
No, that's not my favorite. I will say, just I do want to rep for that call for a second. Dave O'Brien put in one of the all-time great calls when David Ortiz hit a grand slam just beyond the reach of Torii Hunter. I talk about it all the time because it's my favorite play ever. If you listen to it, you hear him shout, David Ortiz, David Ortiz, David Ortiz. It's great. You know what? You know what?
You know what?
I'm the host, so we're going to listen to it right now.
Benoit delivers. Swinging a high deep drive into right field. That one scalded to right. Hunter on the move. Racing back. It's over his head. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz. David Ortiz. David Ortiz. Torii Hunter went up against the wall running pell-mell up against the fence and then went tumbling into the Red Sox bullpen as David Ortiz has sent Fenway Park into a state of delirium.
How great was that? How great was that, Gemma?
I'm going to tell everybody's story about Dakota.
I can only imagine what Gemma's looking like right now.
It is about the time, as everyone has heard on the podcast, this has nothing to do with home runs whatsoever. It has to do with the time that I helped Dakota move, and he bought a chocolate bar for himself and not for me or his friend who helped him move. However, he went to help his brother move this weekend, and his mom bought me a chocolate bar and said, you have to give this to Gemma, and he left it in Philly. Did not give it to me. And that is the story I'm telling to all the people because you made me listen to that call.
That is a true story. That is a true story. However, I did buy her a chocolate Oreo last week, and so she should maybe be a little bit more thankful.
Yes, however, you undid that good work by making me listen to the David Ortiz Grand Slam call.
Well, here, I'll give you a different one. As Jess said, Vin Scully is everybody's childhood hero. Frank, he's our adult hero as well. He's basically a hero to all. Mm-hmm. And he actually has my favorite call of all time, which is from the 1989 All-Star Game in which he interrupted Ronald Reagan to tell us all that Bo Jackson says hello.
Bo down there, that's a pretty interesting hobby he has for his vacation. When baseball ends, he winds up playing football. I don't know if there's ever been anyone doing it. Hey.
He's remarkable, and look at that one. Bo Jackson says hello.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy. Only he could interrupt Ronald Reagan with that. And no, it wouldn't offend anybody. You do it nowadays? Oh, that's bad. Maybe not, actually.
I love it. I think that's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It is an all-time great call.
It is an all-time great call. It's also just because what's so great about Vin Scully is, like you said before, the simplicity. He does a lot of work of letting the crowd reaction sort of tell you about what's happening. And also, what I like so much about that moment is like, all right, it's Ronald Reagan, that's fine. But you know what's important? Baseball.
Baseball, specifically the baseball hit off the bat of Bo Jackson. It's an all-time cool home run. And it's in the All-Star, leading off the All-Star game.
Yeah.
How much cooler does it get than that? That's our Ask Cut 4 question for this week, which was brought to you by Tap Sports Baseball 2017. You can go to iTunes, Google Play App Store right now to download it today for free and start building your ultimate roster. But let's talk now about Pedro Strop. He's not a hitter. In fact, he had one at-bat in the big leagues in 2016. That was it. But on Tuesday night, he came to the plate, and he clobbered a ball out toward Andrew McCutchen, who made the catch. Let's be fair. It was a line drive to center field. Andrew McCutchen made the catch. But he was so floored by the contact, his face dropped, and he looked as though he had just seen a ghost.
Maybe he did.
He might have just seen a ghost.
We need to get Claire on to discuss the possibility of a ghost.
We do. We need Claire and Kutch. Claire and Kutch, ghost hunters.
I think that if that opportunity was offered to Claire, he would instantaneously die of joy and become the ghost.
Probably. But my question to the two of you is, he was floored by that. It was something he literally just couldn't believe. What is the last thing that you saw on a baseball field that just you could not believe, Jess?
You know, I think, you know, being an A's fan, I think growing up, anything that they do just kind of, you know, blows your mind. And I think there were a couple times where, you know, probably the first over those last, you know, few years where they were dominating the AL West, I think the very first one kind of blew my mind. You know, after the season that they had, you know, just dominating, and they actually continued domination into the postseason, I can't describe that magical feeling I got. And it's, you know, to this day still kind of blows my mind. So anything that they did, I want to say that was the year between 2013 and 14, like those 2 years, and 2012 as well. Those years my jaw was constantly dropping everything that they did. And that was, you know, from pitching, you had like Josh Donaldson at one of his peak years. I mean, he's obviously continuing success over with the Jays. Sonny Gray, 2015, even before that, before his All-Star, he was still dominant and everything like that. So I think when they were doing their AL West stuff and just bringing out the best and finally becoming a team that was taken seriously, at least for a little bit, and not just, you know, the Yankees minor league team and all of that stuff, and the nickname stopped, I think that kind of really warmed my heart. And it really blew my mind, too, just how they were coming back and just continuously fighting and beating some of the best teams out there. And so every little thing that they do, even after the magic kind of wore off and you were kind of like, these guys are actually really good, they still just blew my mind. So probably anything the A's did. But this was phenomenal. If you can, like, make Andrew McCutchen stop and kind of ask, like, what just happened, that's pretty phenomenal. So that was great as well.
Yeah, that's definitely its own skill set. And yeah, the A's are fun. The A's have always been fun. Yeah. I think to like the streak, the famous winning streak, the Moneyball winning streak, and like all that stuff. Like,
oh, the scrappiness of that team is just awesome.
Yeah. It's cool. They're like, I feel like they're one of everybody's five favorite teams in baseball.
I would agree with that, actually. I
agree too.
Yeah, everyone probably has the A's somewhere up there. Like, all the A's are on. My team's like on and off them and watch the A's.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that's a thing.
Who hates the A's?
No one hates the A's. How could anyone hate the A's?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Maybe Giants fans, just because of rivalry.
But Giants fans hate the Dodgers.
A little, yeah. And I always thought it was a huge thing between both Bay Area teams, but you bring up the Dodgers and the Giants and vice versa, it's bad.
Yeah. Gemma, what was the most unbelievable thing you've seen on a baseball field?
So I had to think of a couple of things because most of the games I've been to, I haven't even really witnessed like a truly insane play. Like, okay. I've never been in the park to see something like Coughlin's leaping slide or Kutch's leaping slide that didn't work out or anything like that. Or even like I haven't even really seen like an animal delay, you know, it's not in person anyway. So I think like the most incredible feat that I saw in the park would be Max Scherzer's 20 strikeout game, which I was there for. And I was wearing all my Tiger stuff, and Teddy, racing president Teddy, made fun of me and gave me a thumbs down in the photo that we took together, and it was sad. But I got to see that, which was really exciting and electric, and the atmosphere was really cool. But it's also Max Scherzer, who at this point you're like, oh yeah, I'll probably strike out 20 guys. I don't know. Like, that's right. sort of how he is. So it's not like the same level of unbelievable. We also went to a Yankees game together, me and Dakota and Ian and Jake Jordan, and someone ran onto the field. We saw that. We saw someone jump on the field, which I had never seen, which is like, don't do that. It's terrible.
It's not unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unfortunately believable. Like, it's really annoying and nobody likes it. And
it's like a ballpark proposal. The first time it was exciting. Now the 80th one, it's like, come on, guys, you're messing up the game.
This is worse than a ballpark proposal times a million because you're stopping the game. At least the ballpark proposal happens between innings.
Right.
You're stopping the game.
That's true.
You are like you're actively terrifying the players on the field,
right?
Right, because you're invading their space and breaking that rule.
It's like,
and at least the proposal has like a romantic impulse to it, whereas running out onto the field is entirely just look at me, I'm not on the field.
Right, I mean, like, that's true.
Proposals are a bummer because they're annoying, but running on the field is. It's just like a level of rudeness that I don't even know how to cover it. Nobody would go to someone else's job and just like sit on their lap or anything weird like that.
Or just run through their office. Like if somebody ran through our office while it was shirtless while we're trying to write.
That, Gemma. But
what I decided ultimately is the strangest thing that I've ever seen on a baseball field is it's not actually in the field of play. I was at a Mets game with my dad, and we very, very kindly were given passes for BP. So we were on the field for BP, and we were hanging out. And this was a couple years ago, and it was the Red Sox were in town playing the Mets. And so we were just there, and my dad was trying to talk to Dave Dombrowski, because that's what dads do.
Right.
That was it? That was the most
unbelievable? No. So we're watching BP. We're like hanging out. We both look at my dad. He goes, oh, look at that super tall guy. And I like looked, and he's from behind, so I couldn't see him. He was talking to Dave Dombrowski. And I was like, oh, this is probably like a pitcher. Like it's maybe a pitcher that I don't know who it is because they're in street clothes and it's just like an old pitcher, but he needs to turn around so I can see his face. He turns around and it's the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio.
Noted
Red Sox fan, noted tall, tall man. Like he's very tall.
He is very tall.
So then he started, and I was like, oh, it actually kind of makes sense now as to why there are these people down here with like wires in their ears. Didn't know before.
Wait, does he get Secret Service?
He has bodyguards, yeah.
Interesting.
They're not Secret Service, but they are like New York City bodyguards. And so then he started walking right towards where we were. Because we had pretty good seats, too, but he was like walking right towards where we were. And then I realized he was with his wife and kids as well, who everyone here kind of knows who they are, too. And I was like, oh, my God, I should say something. I should be like, I voted for you. You're great or whatever. But I didn't know what to do. And it was really awkward. So we just moved out of the way. And I think that's probably the weirdest thing that I've seen on a field.
I was standing on the field.
Well, it was the fact that I didn't expect him to just be like hanging out like in the dirt,
right.
Like chilling in the dugout, like walking around.
Hanging out in the dirt, the Bill de Blasio story.
Also, another, that day, so you remember when Yoenis Cespedes had a walk-up song that was just someone going, Cespedes, you remember that?
Yeah.
The woman who sung the national anthem that day, that's when she met Yoenis Cespedes and was like, I'm going to write you this song. And that woman is a friend of one of Bill de Blasio's bodyguards.
What a small world.
Yes.
What
wow.
a small
That's
world.
How like she became the anthem singer for that day because she came in the de Blasio entourage.
Well, I would say
it's
that...
It's all interconnected weird. Anyway.
I would say that my most unbelievable moment I've ever seen on a baseball field, I have a few. One is the Yoenis Cespedes home run... A lot of Cespedes on this. Yoenis Cespedes home run derby performance in 2013. That's probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen in person. The reason why I'm not including the David Ortiz Grand Slam is that it was entirely believable. The second one that I sort of thought about is, well, I'll pause and to say that my father constantly talks about one softball catch he made in like 1976 on a baseball field and has driven me past that baseball field a million times. So he would say that that's the most unbelievable thing that he has ever seen.
Himself making the catch?
Yes.
Himself.
He would say that. Take it to the bank. But mine, above all, I also didn't want to go with one that I saw in person and instead decided to go with the 2013 NL wildcard game between the Reds and the Pirates. And the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen was an entire crowd of 40,000 Pirates fans chanting Johnny Cueto's name. And it got to him to the point where he actually dropped the baseball on the ground on the mound because he was so shaken from this crowd of people chanting Cueto, Cueto.
Now Cueto from the crowd. Whoa. Cueto drops the...
They rattled him.
Yeah. He dropped the ball as he was ready to go into the windup.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, that was actually an incredible moment.
Like, literally unbelievable.
It was haunting, too. It was very haunting.
It was kind of haunting.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Yes.
That's a really good point. But let's move on here to this last thing that I desperately want to talk about. There's an article on Fangraphs today by, we're recording this on Wednesday, by Eno Saris, and it's about MSNBC host Chris Hayes asking whether or not he could hit a ball if he had a full season's worth of at-bats. They did all kinds of math. You can go check it out on Fangraphs. But the underlying question, I think, is a really, really fascinating question, which is if you just plucked any of us off the street and somehow forced one of the major league managers to give us a lineup spot every single day for the whole 162-game season, could we, in over 600 at-bats, get a hit? It's worth noting that I never played any organized baseball. Gemma, did you?
No.
No.
I watched it at T-ball.
Jess, actually, is the one of the best female baseball players of all time. I don't know if you know that. She was star of the Yankees.
Small note, yeah.
Small note. I believe you broke Barry Bonds' home run record. That's right.
Yeah, I told you not to, like, mention it. I'm trying to stay humble, but, like,
yeah. It's hard not to mention. I'm sorry. But Jess actually has baseball experience. So I think we'll start with you because I think you probably have the most likelihood
yes.
of actually getting a hit
yes.
in the majors.
Yes.
Do you agree?
I think I probably could. But I think it, you know, I'd really have to, obviously, with all the chances that I would be able to get, probably it'd be a, you know, I'd have to have a lot of guts to do it just because, I mean, I went from playing baseball and then I played like in the Babe Ruth League, so I'm used to like the length of the field, but then I went back down to softball, so I don't know, it might be difficult to adjust, but I feel like if I got enough, you know, hacks at it, I don't see why I couldn't. If not, like, I would just love to get like a little piece off of like a fastball by Corey Kluber, like that would be phenomenal. But at the same time, you know, I don't really know what it's like to play in the big, so it's definitely literally a new type of ball game. But I could probably give it a few tries, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I could get like a little blooper like out to left field or something, but don't expect me hitting bombs, you know, kind of deal. But I would love to get the chance to do it. Absolutely.
You have a full season, so you don't even have to try to get it.
Yeah, I don't think it's far-fetched at all.
I think it's very likely that you could. Gemma, do you think that you or I could get a hit?
No. And I know that also this article is a great read. You know, this article is a great read. And it does talk about kind of like how your average person compares to a professional baseball player, just in terms of like how fast they swing the bat, like the angle.
I don't want to get
like,
too far
no,
into the
I'm
math.
No, I'm not going to get into the math. But okay. The general point that I want to make is that ultimately the conclusion reached is like your average doofus would probably mathematically get like slightly over one hit, right? That's the calculation. Mm-hmm. But I think you and I would get slightly under one hit just because we are not athletic people.
Okay,
really.
See, this is where I
want to... I feel like sometimes that has your advantage because if you're not good, I would try too hard. And I feel like that would almost work against me.
Well, so...
And in that aspect, you know, sometimes you just put the bat out there, you don't really care what you're doing. The next thing you know, you're hitting a blooper. And I think I would try too hard. And I think that would ultimately be, like, my advice.
Well, so here's my take on this, is that I think that with all respect to Fangraphs, and they answered a very specific question, I think the larger question of whether you could just grab somebody off the street and put them in the batter's box isn't one that can be answered with math, because I think that ultimately, like, you have to add into the fact that, like, I have never seen a pitch being, like I've gone to batting cages and stuff like that, but, like, if they start throwing off-speed stuff, I don't know that I would ever see a strike in any of my at-bats. And so at that point, like, I don't know, because I would probably swing at everything or, like, nothing, and nothing in between, right? And, like,
right.
And so I just think that, like there's the underlying variable that they don't really get at, which is that pitch selection is a thing. And, like, and ultimately, if who I am going against knows that I am not a major leaguer or really have any baseball experience whatsoever, they can use that information to their advantage. And I don't think I would ever even come close to making contact. And I think there's this assumption that, well, if you make contact a certain amount of times, then perhaps you might get a hit in one of those. I don't even think I would come close to ever making contact. And I think that's, like, that's the key to this piece, to this question, is, like, do you think you get the bat on the ball? I don't believe that I could. Jess, I think you probably could.
Yeah, I absolutely think that Jess
right.
could.
Right, and, you know, when they're comparing, like, pitchers that have gone up to bat, like, pitchers are sometimes, before they hit the bigs where that's all they're concentrating on, mm-hmm. are some of the best hitters in their league, in college, in high school, and when they were hitting more. So you can't use that as a comparison either. You know, because I saw that Dan Heron responded to the tweet, and it's like, yeah, but if you think about it, the way that the pitchers are constantly looking at when they're throwing the ball and the catchers, and they know how a pitch looks, that's to their advantage. They just don't have that many opportunities. But look at Madison Bumgarner. He's had multiple opportunities, and he's done it. And like I said, pitchers when they were formerly playing in the lower leagues and got more at-bats, that's still way more at-bats than they were getting, you know, overall. So that's still like a really weird comparison, in my opinion, because they still at one point saw a lot of pitches and were in the batter's box.
And they know how pitchers think. Like,
right.
There's that they know how a pitch is going to come in. They generally have a sense of what it might look like, and they know sort of what a pitcher's thought process is in choosing how to sequence the pitches. Whereas if it's just me, I have no idea any of that, and I can inference it from just being a fan of the game and watching the game. But like, I think it's different when you're actually out there throwing versus watching somebody else
out
there
throwing. Well, I think that your scenario also implies that, like, everyone in the league knows, like, okay, Dakota Gardner and Jem Koneko won, like, a cereal box contest, and now right. they get to be major leaguers for a season, and they have to play. Like, they can't not play. They're just, like, in the lineup, and everyone has to deal with it. So that everyone would know, like, we're just some yahoos who have never, ever played organized baseball outside of, like, ages 6 through 7, whatever. But, like, so if the strategy was okay, but, like, it's indistinguishable. You're indistinguishable. You just, like, get dropped into a lineup, and it's like, oh, this person is maybe, like, no one knows that you don't know, right? That's obviously right. going to change anyone's strategy there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think in that case, like, if you attack early, you'll probably have a better likelihood of getting hit before you're found out as
right.
a fraud.
Right.
And so, like, if you can do it early while they're still pitching to you like a normal
like
hitter.
You're just a baseball player. Right. Right.
And so then it's just like, you gotta make it in the first, like, 20 games or else you're totally screwed.
Exactly. Because I agreed with what Chris Hayes thought would happen is, like, throw me one fastball, I would not hit it. And then you'd be like, oh, this person is a mess. And just throw garbage out, like, outside for the rest of the time. And I would probably just swing, and then I would just always be out.
Yeah, I don't think
especially if I was trying to get a hit. If my strategy was to get on base, I would never swing at anything. Like, I would just believe.
Just take.
Take every pitch.
Take one, yeah.
I used to always say that was like
R.A. Dickey. I'll take one from R.A. Dickey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Ultimately, I think it's, you know, this was a great question. I would love to hear what you think. If you actually truly 100% believe that you could get a hit in Major League Baseball, if you don't think you can get a hit in Major League Baseball and you think that we are even too optimistic, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast, and we will share your ideas on the next week's show. If you are so confident, I want to hear the exact scenario.
And it's got to be you as yourself, not like if I had my consciousness but was in the body of Mike Trout.
No,
like,
that's
not what this is.
Yeah, none of that.
There are no rookie of the year scenarios here. There are no body swaps. It's just you as yourself as you are right now.
Yeah, I want to
see the people who, like, yell at the players on Twitter. But I want to see them do it. That's my, like, ultimate fantasy. Like, you peaked at JV, you think you know what you're doing, and I want to see them try to go up and see if they can do it.
I watched an entire video of, like, Marcus Stroman and Corey Kluber striking those dudes out.
Well, so, okay. Yeah. This is a very, as you know, the Cut4Cast is primarily a place where we all come up with TV show ideas. I'm going to tell you, a friend of mine hosts another podcast you should definitely subscribe to called My Talking to My Enemies. Okay, it's bad. I don't remember the name of the podcast, but it's a great podcast. You should go subscribe to it. His name is Dylan Marin. If you search for that, I'm sure you'll find it. And he talks to people who troll him on the internet, and he'll interview them, and it's really interesting and really engaging. And so that should be what this TV show is, which is where you have the haters, they all come together, and you have to watch all of them attempt to get a hit off of, you know, Clayton Kershaw.
That would be awesome.
That would be the best, right?
I mean, I even think people who are like, yelling at some random position player, like, I even think that position player could strike out everyone on Twitter.
Or, like, put them out on the field and make them make plays.
Yes.
As the position player. That would be great.
That would be great. I would watch that so much.
Yes. This is the future of television. It's just trolling the internet trolls. This is what television should be. But Gemma, I have a question for you.
What?
Do you like baseball?
What is no? Yes, I do like baseball.
Of course you like baseball. You're talking to me right now. Uh-huh. And I know that you like baseball because you're listening to this podcast. Well, you can take the thrill of controlling your roster and smacking one out of the park with you everywhere you go with the number one baseball game on mobile, Tap Sports Baseball 2017. I have it on my phone. It's really cool. I'm actually extremely addicted to it. The graphics, I just want to give a shout out to the graphics because they look gorgeous. It's really cool. The real players are in there. It's extremely challenging, but in that way that makes you keep wanting to play.
He's very addicted.
I am very addicted. My boss, Ian, actually yelled at me earlier because I was playing it too much. If you go to iTunes or the Google Play App Store, you can download it now onto your phone. You can get in trouble with your boss just like I did. And it's totally free, and you can start building your ultimate roster today. That's Tap Sports Baseball 2017. It is now time to summarize the podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Gemma, in a world where a woman is a co-host on this baseball podcast, she has one tweet to save mankind. What could it be?
I don't know why this is happening.
What's your tweet? What's
my
your tweet?
My tweet is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen is also my favorite home run call at Kleinschmidt JD's first MLB home run.
Great. I love that.
Dinger. First MLB dinger because I went over character limit.
That's good. Yes. That's really good.
That's beautiful.
I would favor I that and retweet world. That. That's good. You did.
Great for me.
That's true. What a great movie. Jess, what is your tweet?
Okay. I would pay big money to watch any of the dudes who troll players on Twitter try and get one hit off major league pitchers or even off me.
Yeah.
That rules.
Yeah, that's so good.
That tweet
retweet
rules super hard.
140 perfect. Right there.
That's a good one. Okay, let me see. I may be ripping off Gemma's a little bit. Sorry.
You're just jealous of how good it was.
Okay. here we go. Okay. The 2018 All-Star Game lineup featuring at Gemma Kaneko, at Dakota Gardner, and ... open quotations. Jessica Kleinschmidt says hello. Close quotation marks.
Are we like the Bat Boy and Bat Girl? Because I don't know why we're there.
We're managing okay, the team. Okay, fine. We're managing the All-Star team. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read all the stories we talked about today and many, many more that we did not have the time to talk about today. Go to Facebook.com/Cut4. You'll see all of our articles populate your newsfeed. You can get into just truly, truly in-depth conversations with other people about those articles, and all of that is at Mark Zuckerberg's behest. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can email us all of your questions, quandaries, concerns, moral difficulties. If you don't email us looking for legal advice, none of us are lawyers. But
we're
just
gonna be like,
should
I propose
advice,
at the ballpark?
Should I propose at the ballpark? Any questions like that, email us cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, type in Cut4Cast, we will just appear right there and you can hit subscribe. And then rather than having to tediously email your friend and have them download the podcast and email it to you, and then you print out all of the zeros and ones and then scan it into a scanner and then have the computer figure it out so that you can listen to the podcast. That's really complicated. It doesn't even make sense. You can just go to the Apple Podcast app, subscribe, and it will download onto your phone automatically. And while you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, or write a review. Please take the time to do that. It helps other people find the show. Jessica, thank you as always for appearing on the Cut4Cast.
Thanks for having me. The pitcher one, or the hitting in Major League like segment was awesome. I thought that was great.
Well, I think so too. Gemma, thank you as always for being here.
Of course.
But mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.